Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that. Let's get right back into the episode.
Then we go to Wendy and Eddie's house and we see their new remodeled house. And it looks really nice.
Oh, I was so happy with what they did with the kitchen island because I never really liked their triangle island that they had. And it was also kind of dark in there. And now they got like a full-on, like long white marble kind of island. Did they even get two of them? I'm not sure, but it does look really nice. I mean, like, yeah, I liked it. The living room looked nice. It was no longer like all white. Now it has these big sort of like black squares and everything. And it looked good. Well, it's kind of funny.
Really nice. It's going to look great for the next family.
It really will. At one point, Eddie was saying how he loved the cabinetry and he loved all the gold accents on it. And they show a close up and it was like crooked. I don't know if you saw it, but it's like two shelves that were like totally crooked and like not aligned. And I was like, oh,
oh no.
Okay. No, we can't all be winners.
That. Yeah. Well,
So, but
you know how I was construction like, oh, people are. It's like, we're done. You are not done. And then 6 months later, they'll return and then try and charge you another $1,000 to fix the shelf they fucked up in the first place.
We have to imagine that the finale is going to be happening in on this Colorado trip, right? Because they're starting to tie up all the loose ends at home. Like, I think I'm now, this is the new pattern on Bravo, because it used to never be the finale at the trip. I like the finale after the trip, personally, because I like seeing the fallout from the trip a little bit, but whatever. But now what happens is, like, as we're about to approach, like, the end of the season, they, like, tie up all, like, the stupid domestic storylines before they fly off. That way, like it's all complete. So this is where we're going to put a pin on, not a pin. We're gonna close out this one, which is the construction storyline. It is all not revised. I can't even talk. Can you tell that the holidays are coming up? Like I can't even get the words out. Construction is done. The renovation is done. The house is done. And now we're here to look at it.
It's never done. It's never done because now she's like, okay, I can have a storyline for next year too. Should we do the pool or the basement? And so they vote to do the pool. So now they're going to build a pool, which is going to be at least $100,000. And that's a lot of Birkins to pretend that were stolen. I don't know how they're going to try and pull this off, but I can't wait to see it. So now they're talking about how they're starting a new chapter, but let's talk about my dad again. She's like, you know, I don't want anything to happen. I didn't reach out, but I just wanted to call and see what happens. You know what I mean? And so she tells us her father backstory again, and she's trying to make this a thing. And so now she's going to call her dad. So she calls her dad and they have a little conversation. And she's like, well, you know, I wanted to talk about how we went to camp to Nigeria and then we didn't get to see you. And he's like, there's no use crying over spilled milk. And she's like, well, but I bought my whole family. And he's like, I don't care. It's like, thanks for calling me. This is this costing me minutes or you? Because you wouldn't even be talking to me right now if I had to pay for this.
He kind of placates her with sort of easy things like, well, There's no need crying over spilled milk. And I miss you. I miss my daughter. I miss her so much. Let's not dwell in the past. I miss you. I haven't seen my daughter or my grandchildren. Oh, hopefully we can work something out. I miss you so much. Hold on. I'm getting a call on the other phone. Hold on 1 second. I'm breaking up. Breaking up. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Also, I hate when people say there's no use crying over spilled milk because it's always the ones who spilled the milk that said that. It's like, well, yeah. It's already spilled. Yeah, but you spilled it. And if you don't want me to cry over it, then why aren't you holding a towel in your hand?
This was also like not, I would actually be really mad if it was reduced down to spilled milk. Like, oh, sorry, I haven't seen my father in 20 years. And here are the grandchildren you've never met. And we crossed an ocean and we're here in your country and we're here for a few weeks. And you can't make it. And you're going to say, oh, well, don't cry for spilled milk. I was like, that was milk. That was sacred restorative milk that gives you eternal youth. That was not just any other milk, okay? Like, don't minimize, like, just my existence into spilled milk. No, ma'am. And I say that
there wasn't even spilled milk. She's like a glass, and you took the milk from the house and just left. She never got the milk, you know? Like,
that glass wasn't even, the glass wasn't even, like, you, but you actually created the milk, and then you spilled
abandoned
it.
You abandoned the milk.
No one said there needed to be milk, and then you made the milk, and then you're like, oh wow, whoops, I spilled it. Oh well. Like,
yeah, no. I have to say, watching this, I can understand where Wendy's coming from, because she lost her stepfather, you know, we know that, and I can understand her wanting her kids to meet her dad and wanting to have a relationship with her dad. I think that that's a totally understandable and relatable thing. However, fuck that dad. He abandoned you. He didn't do shit. And then he didn't even come meet you and your grandkids. So What the fuck are you doing? Like, it's hard to it's hard to support this. I mean, I'm kind of her team mom. I'm kind of team
mom. Yeah, and he gets to do the easiest thing, which is to smile and be like, oh my God, I miss you. And, you know, I appreciate her very mature take, which is like, look, I know my dad has his limitations. Like, he's never going to be the dad that I want him to be, but I can at least, like, I'll just meet him where he is. And I'll just try to have a nice relationship with him, even though he's always going to like flake, or he'll always say these nice things and he's never going to follow through. And she's decided that she's just going to make that work. And that's fine. I totally support that. If she decides that that's what she wants, because it's more important for her to have this relationship in her family, knowing that they'll, like, she's sort of not compartmentalized, but she's accepted that this person will never follow through on their promises. Like, that's fine. But this guy, it doesn't mean we have to accept it. And I think that for this guy just to be like, oh, I'm just going to smile. I'm on camera right now. I'm going to just seem like this wonderful, happy guy. I'm like, don't, why is it on her to come see you? Why don't you make some effort to see your own daughter? You know?
That said, I mean, if you're not going to get anything from your dad and you know you're not going to get anything from your dad, you may as well use his ass for a storyline. So I guess that's good on her. You know, she's like, well, I can just make him look stupid on national TV. So I'll go that route. So then we go to Giselle, who is talking to Chief Development Officer of the National Brain Tumor Society. And she's like, whoa, I'm so super happy we were able to catch up. And God, I haven't seen you since the 5K yet. So how much did the Brain Tumor Society raise that day? $1.2 million. Wow. We did great. You did not raise $1.2 million, Giselle. Stop it. With your GNA t-shirt. I know. And she didn't say she personally did it, but I feel like it was kind of put up there it was put up there. It's like, no, your GNA t-shirts did not do this. And you're Ashley singing Coffee and Love or whatever the fuck.
People were donating the charity just to shut Ashley up. They're like, we will pay $500 just so you can kill that microphone right now.
That is what GNA should be. It should be Giselle and Ashley. Ashley starts singing and Giselle takes dollars in a cap until she's got enough to shut Ashley up.
I know. So then we go over to Kierna and Greg, because by the way, nothing else happened in the scene. It's just like Giselle talking about the charity. So Kierna's moving back into this condo, which I think is different from the condo last year, but it's whatever, or whatever this structure is, house, whatever it is that Greg's living in. She's moving back in. So she's moving in and he's being all friendly. He's like, oh wow, you got your Poochie on and everything. Like he knows what Poochie is. I'm sure she's like, remember to mention my Poochie on camera. So he mentions the Poochie. And
I'm sorry. I'm very confused. So we just saw a scene at the potluck where they said, so does this mean that she's moving back in with you? And they said, no, not yet. And then the next scene, she's moving back in with him. What happened to the apartment, the condo that you bought yourself that later it turns out that Greg bought you? What is going on this?
Nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense. Nothing is interesting enough to make sense, because all the houses that we ever see them in are these generic, like they all look like the same thing. It reminds me of when I was a kid. Yeah. When I got my parents got me a camcorder when I was in ninth grade, I started making little movies. And I'd be like, scene one was going to be at the office. And it'd be like in the living room from one angle. It's like, now I'm at the town hall and it's just like the living room from a different angle. You know, it's like, you're still in the living room. It's like blatantly still in the living room. But because I turned the camera around and showed a different wall, it was like a whole different location. And that's what all these houses look like to me. They just look like the same generic house. But the only way I can tell the difference is that the one that Kierna was staying in by herself, that she's so proud of, had the panoramic view of the highway. That's the only way I can tell a difference.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought they were the same place. I couldn't even tell them apart. I thought, oh, so he's moving into her house? And then I didn't notice, like, the wacky chandelier that she has, like the big ball chandelier. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess it's Greg's. I don't know. Either way, you know that they're good together because their taste is very, like, basic box store.
It's like, yeah, it's like Z Gallery. So Kieran is like,
so this is my second time moving in with Greg. Like, clearly we're off to a better start because he helped me move in with the boxes this time.
And we see footage of last year when she moved in and he just sat there while she brought in all the boxes. And like, oh, this year, the big remarkable thing is that he actually stood up and brought boxes in. Like, we're going to give a trophy to this guy for doing like the base level thing that any human should do for someone who's actually moving into the same space.
Are you ever going to consider being with somebody, man or woman, who doesn't help you move into their house? Like, that's crazy. Like, who sat there and watched you move in boxes? Wow. I forgot about that. Yeah. That was sad. So she's like, oh, the other one's heavy. You need to use a trolley. Ha, ha, ha. So she says that her mom wasn't on board with this, but they're two adults and they know what's best for them. And whether it's his house or a condo that she pretended to buy and then pretended that he bought, but apparently nobody bought and isn't even really a thing. I mean, what the hell? So, you know, people around them have to respect that. You are a liar. Okay. You're lying constantly on TV. Now go yell at Stacey about being a liar more, please. You guys are such hypocrites on this show. I can't. So Greg's like, well, let's talk about the plans. I know you've been an independent lady for a while. When you bought her condo, what are you guys talking about?
And she's like, well, what's your plan? And he's like, well, my plan is just to smile every day and be quiet. America, like a little ding appears on his teeth. Ding. So Kierna says,
I decided to move back in because Greg and I made a newfound commitment to each other. And for me, it's like the ring symbolizes the next step. And I just feel like you have to like love and understanding and be rooted in that. And like the ring is like the cherry on top.
It's like, none of this makes sense. You were just like so much better than Greg. Look, Kierna kind of sucks on this show. Let's be honest. We all agree. Kierna kind of sucks. But even her sucking is still much better than Greg, you know?
At this point, I don't even know, because at this point, like, have some self-respect. I mean, your storyline was, I'm going to move out because Greg won't give me a ring. I can't believe I moved in with him without getting a ring. So now I'm going to move out. I'm going to do this by myself. I'm going to buy this place by myself. Oh, whoops. No, Greg bought it. Okay. And now I still don't get what I need in this relationship. So now I'm just going to give him what he wants and move back into his house so he doesn't have to pay for that. Like, what are you doing over there? We're trying to root for you, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're making some banter and he's like, all right, babe, I got you a nice gift. You know, it's like a little move-in gift, you know, like Mr. Biggs from the show, except you got Mr. Diggs. And she goes, oh, yeah. And he's like, you know what the D stands for, right? And she's like, no. So he's like, okay, here's the gift. So he's like, I tried to disguise it. So that's why it's in this big brown box. It's in a giant brown cardboard box, like the kind you get from Staples. I was like, wow, this master of romance over here.
Yeah, real Cyrano. The big gift in the- So he gets her a box and inside he's just pretending that they're moving, but it's really flowers. And it's flowers, some roses. And he's like, because I know red roses are your favorite. Basic. You are so basic.
I know, it's so basic. I can't.
So he's like, I know that those are your favorite.
Like, really?
And then there's a box from the jeweler. And he's like, you know, she goes, oh my God, you went to Radcliffe? Oh my God, I see that and I go crazy. And he's like, you're getting excited, huh? And she opens it and it's a picture frame. I wish I was there. This is the jewelry store, right? That he got this from. Am I reading this wrong?
You're not.
That's just hilarious. So he took the mom and the brother to the jewelry store and ended up buying her a picture frame. Can we please get footage of him doing that in front of the mother? Because I would love to see it.
Can we please get footage of the person working at the jewelry store watching him buy a picture frame at the jewelry store? That's not even something you get at a jewelry store, is it?
No. After they just showed him a $2 million diamond. So she's like, wow, we're two Sagittarius, baby. We're there to fire. We're fire to each other's fire. You are basic to each other's basic. I'm sick of hearing about you. You both need to leave this show. So, She's going to try and change it. So she says, so you're totally fine with this still being the way it is because the condo is still Kay's condo and my name completely is a gift, but it's ours. And he goes, yeah. And she goes, so then the house, because you purchased the home, do you think that'll ever like change the deed? Are you going to change the deed once we get married?
And he's like, yeah, if you get married, it's like they're both properties. And she goes, if, when? He goes, when, I should say. She goes, no, I'm saying, like, no, it's not if, it's when. And he's like, not getting it. And he goes, okay, so when you get married, they're both properties. And she goes, well, so we wouldn't change the deed. And he's like, no, I don't think neither one is necessary. I don't plan on being here the rest of my life. So he's saying, we're not going to bother changing the deed because this will only be a temporary residence anyway.
No, you see, he has not changed.
I don't know.
He does not want this. He's not going to. This is whatever. I mean, how much can you harp on the same thing? But I think he's saying, like, okay, I got one in your name and I have one in my name. Like, what do you want from me? She's like, but mine is going to still be in my name, but yours is going to be in both of our names, right? So he's trying to say fuck no, but he's doing it in the most uncomfortable way possible. So then she's like, well, you said we were moving 5 years. And he said 5 to 6. And he goes, so you're going to hold me to that? She's like, yeah. And he just swigs his drink like, oh, God.
So now we go to have lunch with Tia and her half-sister Amira at Flores Cafe. So this is like a very, I don't know why, but it's like, it feels like a very much like a DC restaurant. Like, I feel like the restaurants on this show have a certain look to them that just sort of is so amusing to me. I can't describe it, but it's like every time they go into a place, all the restaurants kind of look the same here. So they are there and she's like, how was your jet lag? Are you exhausted? And Amina was like, I am, but I'm wearing off a bit. It's not too bad. She's like, oh, do you feel like my kids remembered you from last year? I was like, look, there's my bitch hat sister. It's like, yes, I think they did, because your son kept on trying to kiss me and said, you don't look like the mirror. And I didn't understand what he meant by that.
Just, you know, it was so nice. There were so many hugs and warmth.
Yes, it was just disgusting. How she said it. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, she was like that, and it was disgusting.
Yes, well, I remember when I was first explaining to them that you're coming, and then they said, So, yeah.
She goes, so how did you explain that? And she says, well, I just explained that my dad had two other kids, but they haven't really figured out the timeline. So they just think he got remarried or something. She's like, well, and Amir goes, yeah, I guess family's family, irrespective of, you know, the order and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Seems so very Tia tells us. Amira seemed very uncomfortable. She's like, why are you dragging me onto TV?
Yeah. And Tia's like, I remember my mom calling us into the room saying your brother and sister are coming around. And I was like, huh? And Amira's like, brother and sister? She's like, yes, apparently I had seen her when she was born. But then I came home and told my mom and I saw a baby today. And you know, my mom's a lady. So, I mean, she's better than me. I would have burnt the whole house down. So they order some food. And Tia's, they're just joking about it, like, oh, she's like, I'd be the big sister with the alcohol. I'll have alcohol in my drink. So they're talking about growing up and everything and talking about how, you know, Tia's regretting that their relationship took so long to start. She wished that their relationship would have started a lot sooner. But when their dad died, that was the first time they, like, both halves of the kids started to communicate a little bit more. And they just realized that they came together because of that. And that was like the first time that Tia ever called Amira was during the funeral preparations.
And I thought it was nice. She called her and she said, I just want you to know that you're loved. Which, mm-hmm. That's so sweet, even though she didn't really mean it at that moment. but it was still nice. So they both start crying. And Tia's like, well, when my father was alive, he really, really wanted us to be close. Yeah. You fucking went and had kids on your mom. Wasn't he still married to the mom when he had the kids?
Yes.
Fucking the dads are getting a lot of forgiveness today on this show. We're forgiving the dads a lot of shit on this show today. But I'll suck it up for the sake of this show. But yeah, it's not the kids' fault, you know, which I'm glad she finally realized. Like, Amira didn't do it.
Yeah, I think what she realized is that, like, yes, her dad may have cheated and everything, but he loved his children and he just wanted all his children to be together, which is, you know, like, yeah, that's like, it's an interesting, it's a multifaceted situation that is happening between them. So that was the scene.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go back to Wendy and Eddie's for the main event, because this was an amazing scene right here. So Wendy and Eddie's, and the kids are, of course, all like the the kid, like the sons, I think they're all wearing their Bring Out Eddie's shirts, which is just so embarrassing. It's so cringe.
Stop. It's cringy. Like, stop. Come on.
This wasn't a thing.
Even good. It's not.
It wasn't a thing. Bravo, like, put it in the trailer for the reunion, but it was not a thing in pop culture. Stop trying to make it a thing. You're trying to make Fetch happen, and you're trying to sell Fetch. It's not.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. So, so they're all wearing these, and she's like, okay, when my family comes over, we're gonna say, welcome to our home. And Cameron's like, jazz hands. So they come over and they say, welcome. Well, only Wendy does. She's like, welcome. So they're showing off the renovations, and she says, my mom has a lot of opinions, and, you know, I'm sure there's certain things I've done in the house that she wouldn't have done, but I hope she's proud of me. I hope she's proud.
So Susan liked it. She's like, this is beautiful. It's beautiful. And Iris is like walking around, just sort of getting stink eye to everything. And they're going from one place to another. They like it. So they are walking around, they're looking at everything. Wendy's showing off her little spice drawer and everything. And Susan's like, you really cook. And she's like, I do. I don't know why you think I don't. Sometimes. She's like, well, no, I cook all the time. I had to peel okra with that woman from the other TV show you made me go on.
She goes, oh my God, I've never seen black toilet paper before. And she comes out holding black toilet paper, which is hilarious. She's like, Wendy says, there's a different vibe when black toilet paper touches your ass.
I don't know if I approve of black toilet paper. I think there's functional reasons of why it's white.
I don't know. And just also, we're used to, I mean, this is gross to say, but you're used to what white toilet paper does. And it kind of gives you the temperature of what's going on, you know?
Exactly.
Like, is anything wrong? You know, it's like a litmus test, if you will. Toilet paper, no.
You need to see contrast a little bit more to see, like, is it time? Have you reached the finish line? Or is it time to, like, maybe go at it a second time?
Okay.
You need to have, like, the full picture. And I'm afraid that black toilet paper won't do that for me. So I appreciate the aesthetic appearance of it.
I've never even seen it. I think I've only seen it for, like, novelty things. Like, for your 40th birthday party, you know? I don't think I've seen it. Yeah. Gross.
I've never seen it.
I just did a search.
I was like, black toilet paper, and the first thing that came up was something called Renova. It's a black toilet paper, and it says Renova, the sexiest paper on earth.
sexy toilet paper. Wiping my butt, just so sexy. Do not go in there, but when you do, check out that sexy toilet paper.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel it, but I appreciate what it's trying to do.
So now Susan's like, well, remember when you wanted to go buy a new house and I told you don't buy a new house? And she's like, okay, well, thank you for advising me, mother. Okay, so last time you guys were here, we talked about that. Okay, Wendy, immediately I said, no. You know that they don't want to talk about this. Why are you talking about this again on camera with your mother? What are you expecting from her? After the last time,
this is not going to work out well.
You just did this to her on camera, and she didn't like it, and she faked her way through that scene. She's not going to fake it again, ma'am.
She tried. She tried. You could see she was biting her tongue. She's like, oh God, this is going to be a long talk. Let me have a seat. So she sits down, and Wendy goes, no, it's not going to be long. I just want to let you know I called Dad, and I'm really happy I did. And he was very warm and very apologetic and very optimistic about the future. So it was a great conversation. I'm really happy I called him. And Ivy's like, I don't know. As long as you feel good about it, I just don't want you to get your hopes up. She goes, my hopes aren't up. Because he's notorious for being a disappointment. So don't put him on a pedestal that he's going to be that dad, because he's just not. And yes, he gave birth to you, but he's like not going to be that fatherly. You know what I mean? And then when he said, when Ivy, that's the trigger. When Ivy says he gave birth to you, Susan goes, he gave birth to her? I gave birth to her. I was the one in labor, in pain, right? Okay, he was just a freaking sperm donor.
Oh, gosh. And she's
and
like,
she's right,
oh,
by
well.
The way. She's right. 100% right. You know, like, he gave birth. Ivy, you should know better.
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty much Team Susan until she just went too far off the rails. But I was like, I mean, she's not wrong. And why are you bringing this up? Like, you literally did not have to tell them this. If you're going to do something that you know is going to hurt your mom's feelings, of course it's her right to call her dad. I'm not saying she shouldn't call her dad or that she should, you know, hate him because Susan wants her to. But you know this is going to do nothing but piss off your mom, who had to raise you when he abandoned you, at least if the stories that you guys are telling us or what happened. So why are you even telling them? Why not just call him for your own peace and forge a relationship on your own? Why are you having to bring it up to them in this way? It seems like she's fucking with them to me.
Mm-hmm. I actually think in a way, if Ivy had not said anything, like if Susan just said, okay, that's fine, moving on, it would have been fine. But Ivy started talking. I mean, actually what Ivy said wasn't even that bad, but with the moment that she said, the moment that she said he gave birth to you, which I don't know why she said that, but the moment that she said that, then it was over because Susan can't stand this man. Susan's probably like, I worked 2 to 3 jobs to put these kids through college, to make them the successes that they are, to get them to have advanced degrees, to get them on television. I did this. I mean, she basically said, these are my children, like the grandkids, right? Like she's like, I made all the sacrifices. And like, I think what she's afraid of is that this guy just does nothing and he comes in and he smiles and he says some nice empty words on camera. And now he gets like credit and he gets all the love that like without doing any of the effort that I did, you know, and I had to go through all that hardship. And
yeah,
and
like he gets to waltz in here acting like, oh, yeah, I'm just a good dad. It's like, I'm the fun dad.
Crying over spilled milk.
Any of the work. Yeah, but now he's going to get all the love and possibly some of my allowance money. And that is not...
And so she's okay. Not going to give him a shred of credit, even if it's even metaphorically, by saying he gave birth to you. She is not going to let him have
one bit. I mean, and it's also just a bad turn of phrase, probably. But it is. Yeah. So she's like, well, mom, you will marry, so I don't think it's fair that you say he's a sperm donor. And Susan's like, well, he didn't take care of me or you, and even turned back to see how anybody's doing. That's why I gave him the title of sperm donor. And her mom's doing this thing where she's standing up and just like going, you know, she's going off. And so Wendy's like, okay, give me a second. Quiz, Cameron, upstairs. Upstairs, not in front of the children, mom, not in front of the children. Yeah. And she points at her and she's like, don't do that to me. Do not do that thing where you pointed me. So she's pointing back at her. And Wendy's like, but you don't do that because you could talk to me, but I'm going to protect my kids. Clues, take your sister upstairs for me. Close your eyes in the closet, rock each other back and forth and say, bring him out. Bring him out until we call you back downstairs.
These kids would not do very well in a horror movie because they're taking a very long time to get upstairs. I'm like, get upstairs soon. Like, she's about to blow. Guys, get out of there. Clear.
The kids are like, you kidding? I don't want to be gone. I want to see this. This is amazing. Grandma's about to lose her shit.
Mm-hmm. So Susan's like, yeah, like, you've not done worse things. Where did you put my bag? Because I want to go. And Wendy's like, okay, come on. Can you get your brother upstairs? Can you get your brothers? I was like going crazy. I was like, kids, get upstairs. Also, Eddie, where are you? Get the kids upstairs. Come on, Eddie. So Susan's
Eddie's not
like,
getting away in the way of that mother. That's what Eddie's
He doing. Goes into he's his office.
Like, yeah, he's like, bang.
He's like playing Minesweeper.
Yeah, he's Susan's like, I'm going to be coming up with some happy Eddie fidget spinners. Okay, I'll be in the office.
I am not in your friend group. Don't do this to me. That's disrespectful, okay? Don't do this. I gave birth to you. You can do that to your child, but not to me. I'm already pissed off, so don't piss me more off. I came here to see your renovation and not to hear some update on the person that abandoned me and the children. And I had to work 4 jobs, okay? So come on. You know how much money I paid to put you through school. I mean, she's having, like, she's great monologue. She is... Just laying into Wendy right now. I was like, even I was like, ooh.
She is, and this is where she starts losing me because she's just too much. Like, she's just too much, and I was like, oh my gosh,
loud in
I can imagine. You know, she's screaming and yelling in Wendy's
home.
The
kids upstairs.
And like, it's too much, you know. You know, I have a pretty strong mother, so a lot of this was just like, oh God, mom, please, not here, not in the restaurant, I just mom.
I just was more concerned about the kids because even though the kids are upstairs, I can hear the screaming, you know.
And oh, it's kids. Like, concerned for the kids. They're fine.
I was. Kids.
I'm just saying,
what are you going to do about kids today? Just you wait and see, you know?
Well, I mean, grandma's crazy. They probably love it, I guess.
They're probably used to it. So Wendy's like, well, the feeling is still very deep for my mom that to have carried that weight for 40 something years by herself. And I'm sure she has a lot of resentment towards my dad. Oh, you're sure? What gives you that idea?
You think? And so Ivy's like, okay, well, fine. The kids don't need to hear what's going on, but your presentation was off, Wendy, okay? Putting your hand in mom's face, and now all of a sudden we're protecting the image of the grandfather. And Susan's like, oh, the grandfather who has not seen. And she stands up and's like, has not seen the grandchildren. Excuse me, do not interrupt me. They flew across the world to see him, and he never showed up. And Wendy's like, okay, well, now you're doing too much because you want to have your moment. And that, to me, I'm not doing. Well, Wendy, you are doing this on TV because you want to have your moment of like pity with your dad and all of that in the storyline. And you want to poke your mom at it on TV with it. You want to poke your mom with it on TV to have your moment. And now you're getting your moment with your mom. I mean, you asked for this. So
so Susan's like, I am not doing too much. It's like, and you know what she's doing. Oh, get lost. Don't insult me. I'm your mom. I love her saying get lost when she's like in Wendy's house.
I mean, the gall of this mother. So Wendy's like, who insulted you? She goes, you don't have to call me an idiot to be an insult. And she goes, who called you an idiot? It's like, I'm here to talk to you and you walk. Okay, so now I've insulted her by walking here. She goes, this is disrespectful. And you don't know about African culture. Are you coming here to defend your wife? Because now Eddie's coming up. And he's like, no. She goes, go stand with her then. He's like, it's just the voices are a little elevated. And she goes, and then Ivy and Susan both start chanting. Thing. Bring Eddie out. I was like, even yes, mocking moments. Them with their own stupid t-shirts.
He's like, the voices are getting elevated. And what was so funny is, not funny, but it was so interesting, because now Susan's like sort of holding Eddie's hands and she's quieting down. And she's like, I'm just saying, calm down the waters. Because she's like, I'm saying, and all I'm saying is this, don't tell me what I said. And she starts saying how he's like the man of the house at one point. And it's like sort of interesting how like Susan is this very strong woman, very strong, very opinionated woman who does not suffer any fools. But it's still interesting that like she still defers to like the man of the house, right? Like that Eddie comes out as the man of the house and she starts to calm down a bit. I just think that's so fascinating.
Oh, no, no. She was, I don't think it was, I mean, I just read it differently, but I think what was happening was she was saying, okay, Eddie, listen, you know, she's messing with me. And as the man of the house, you need to take care of your woman because she's losing her mind. Because she tells him, okay, you're the man of this house and your wife is out of control. And she's like, well, I'm out of control. So I think she's just trying to pull Eddie to her side for the fight and be like, as the man of the house, you need to step in and take care of her because she has lost her mind talking to her mother like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, either way, it was still fascinating to me how that like she suddenly like quieted down for Eddie. And Wendy's like, are you kidding? Am I in the Twilight Zone? He's like, okay, I just want everyone to calm down. The conversation is just getting very exacerbated. And I think we all need to take a beat. Goes, well, all this started because she was talking about how she was talking in front of the kids. And I'm just so upset. Like, you guys always do this. You guys always start yelling in front of the kids. So Susan goes, shut the fuck up, Wendy.
But I just like to point out, no, it didn't start. It didn't all happen because of how she was talking in front of the kids. This all happened because you brought up your fucking dad's pity story again to try and get pity off two people who hate this man. What are you thinking? What are you doing? I mean, and it's interesting because I'm thinking of it differently today talking about it than I was watching it. Because when I was watching it, I was like, oh, hell no. They need to just kick that mother out of the house. Like, you need to just be like, this is my home. You can't talk to me like this. Get the hell out of here because she's out of control. I mean, that's her mother's acting ridiculous. And you know that they have to deal with this all the time. And you have to have a boundary and all of this. You know, that's what I was thinking watching it. But now reading it back, I'm like, but wait a minute. Like, reading how this is all happening sequentially, Wendy's fucking with them, right? Because this is just crazy. How do you think they're not going to go off on you?
I think Wendy's trying to have a storyline where she's showing growth by meeting someone where they're at, which is her dad. And she wants them to co-sign it. And the mom is like been biting her tongue probably all season. And just the moment that Ivy said that one comment, the mom just was like, no, I can't do this anymore. I know you're trying to have some sort of personal growth storyline. I don't think that Wendy was there trying to like make her mom like I don't think she was trying to make a moment out of her mom. I think Wendy was just trying to do a story arc for the producers, and the mom was sort of like, and then she saw red. There's just too much. There's too many years of like trauma and frustration with this man that she just can't keep it in. But I also think, like, Susan, you got to keep it together. There's kids in the house and you're literally screaming, shut up at your daughter. Like, that's not, like, you got to get out of the house.
Well, I think this happens all the time. I think one of the tweets that I saw the most last night after the show was justice for NECA, because that whole storyline of your mom calling to threaten me and your mom calling it, you know, all these threats. And when he's like, oh, don't talk about my mother. But we believed it back then. I mean, I 100% believed that back then.
I remember that storyline.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't mean like whether or not I like NECA. I'm just saying I believe that the mom did call and threaten her. I believe that 100% at the time. And so it's just funny that Wendy's was being so protective. And always, she's always protective of her mom. Like, my mom would, you know, don't talk about my mom. Don't disrespect my mom. But then she's kind of like taunting her mom to do this to me. Because her mom, this is not the woman's first time acting like this. And even Wendy says,
100%.
Like, oh, you know, this is just another day of these two ganging up on me and my mom losing it at me. So I feel like she knew what she was doing. And I'm not saying it's like a Bronwyn thing where she's trying to, where I feel like she's trying to get pity from the audience. I don't think it's anything like that, but I don't know. It's just like, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? Oh my God.
Yeah. So Susan is losing her mind and she's like, let me tell you why I'm so hot. You don't even give a shit right now about this girl. And Wendy's like, okay, I'm upset. And Eddie's like, okay, don't be upset. Oh, because at that point, Susan has left the building. Susan and Ivy leave. It's so funny because Ivy just like,
No, they're not gone yet. They're still standing
left
there.
Left yet? Oh.
Yeah, no, okay. They're still standing. They said they were going to leave, but they're still standing there. And Wendy's just crying to Eddie. And Susan's like, what are you doing? Look at this girl. Why are you doing this? And she's like, she tells Eddie, I want them to get the fuck out of my house. And Ivy goes, oh, really? You said you want us to get the fuck out of your house? And Eddie's like, no. She didn't do that. I got to go draw some fidget spinners. And Susan's like, is that what she said then? And he's like, guys, let's just, and Ivy's saying, okay, it's good. You know what? Do you have my key? Okay, y'all be blessed. Take this mic off me, please. I'm done. And then Susan goes off again. She's like, oh, yes. Well, last time you told us about your dad, we comforted you. And that doesn't mean we supported his stupid ass. Look how I am working. How many jobs to help you with your kids? Quit my job to take after your kids. And you're here, but I'm not upset when he called me kiss his ass for all I care. Idiot. Look at this girl. Look at her. And then she's just like talking to herself. Is she putting on lipstick? She's like putting on lipstick,
leaving the house. And Eddie's like, are you okay? She's like, I'm used to it. And goes, and Eddie's like, you said you're used to it. She goes, you know, it's always this. Like, if I'm not on their train to hate them, it's a problem. Like, look, they even leave together. Look, they're together. And that's exactly why I wanted or yearned to have a relationship with my dad. Because when it's the three of y'all, the two people always fuck with each other, you're by yourself. And you're like, damn, I'm always by myself. So that's also interesting. She's basically like, Ivy and my mom always team up against me. And so now I'm going to have a relationship with my dad as like a fuck you. So I need to have another ally.
I guess, yeah.
And I'm going to rub it in my mom's face.
Yikes, but Susan, out of control, man. But I loved it. And I was like, yes, you know, I love a crazy mother.
Well, it was very real. I mean, I love those scenes when it's like, I didn't feel like she was like yelling to have a reality show moment. She was yelling because she had like years of pent up anger around this situation that come tumbling out. And I find that to be like very fascinating. I mean, it's uncomfortable because she's shouting. I was uncomfortable because the kids were upstairs and they could hear it. And I did not feel like that was like, that concerns me, honestly, because the kids can hear these things. It's like, it's hard.
It'll be fine.
Even if they're used to it. But like, I don't think that's great.
You shouldn't be yelling at someone like that in their own home. That's crazy. And you shouldn't be yelling at someone like that at all. But just to see the dynamic and just knowing for years, or suspecting at least for years, that that's how Susan is. And then seeing it finally seeing her finally just unleash was fun. It was fun. It was fun as an audience member because it's been so long that it's like, is she, are these stories true? And then to see her do it, it's like, oh yeah, there she is. There she is. But again, you know, I just have to, it's like Wendy had to know this was going to happen. Like, and also I kind of don't blame Susan. I mean, I blame her for how she acted, but you've got this man who abandons your children, does nothing, then hurts their grandchildren's feelings after they go all the way over there, and now you're gonna try and make it like, why can't you guys just be nice to dad? Like, fuck off. Like, you can do that on your own time, you know, go be nice with your dad and have your own relationship, but to try and pull them into it and like try and get their support is Looney Tunes to me. That's nuts. You ain't getting it.
Yeah. This is a wild episode.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, good thanks scene. So much for being here and for listening. And we will catch you. We're going to go record some Married to Medicine now. So we'll catch you on that one. Talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.